हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। So then we have Sakrisardipika on the section on Upanayanam, and then we're now at the point where the Acharya has given the deer skin and the Gayatri mantra, and now it goes on to next to the stick. Then the Acharya should hand the child a stick of Bilvar Palash wood and make him address the trick stick, saying, "Oh no, we already did this one." Okay. Okay.
I
So
think we just read the
we just read that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So now then thus means, you being glorious with knowledge, make me glorious with the same knowledge. Make me glorious with, okay. Oh, glorious one, as you are glorious among the Devas, may I be glorious among the Brahmanas. Okay, so then knowledge, because when you're following the path, right? The spiritual path. And so then the stick is there to help on, remove obstacles and make it easier to go on that path. So the actual point is the stick represents knowledge, that you move on the path, you remove obstacles through path, everything goes nicer on the path through knowledge. So that's the whole point that's being here. And just as knowledge is glorious amongst those, situated in the mode of goodness, or the higher levels of or in the levels of devotion, then may I also then it be glorious among the brahmanas that were situated nicely in knowledge and dedicated to the service of the Lord. Taking the danda, the brahmachari should begin begging by first going to his mother, saying, and then it's the footnote, and the Dharma Shastra explains that Brahmana will explain, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, a Kshatriya Bhiksham Bhavati Dehi, and a Vaishya Bhiksham Dehi Bhavati. Right? So from this, it's the same point that you're saying. You have these three words that you're talking about, the oh respected mother, you're talking about what do you call it? What do you call it? What's being done, and then and that it's being and yeah. So in here, so the Brahmana is saying Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. So then you're saying Bhavati means oh respected woman. Okay. Like that. Bhiksham means alms, Dehi. Give. Oh, means so then he gives here, oh good woman, please give alms, right? So now the Kshatriya, so that means then there's the respect for the person, then there is the aspect of what's being done so that they know, and then give. Because if I say give, I don't know, I mean, we're saying in English give alms, but in most other languages it would be alms give. Because then you know what's happening. If I say give, give what? Give alms. But if I say alms and then give, then I know alms means, okay, charity, and please give. So, it's just that natural order. With the Kshatriya, then they say Bhiksham Bhavati Dehi. So Bhiksham, so that you know what's going on, because otherwise, see the Brahmin, you're not really worried. They say Bhavati. So then it's that respectful element. So then for the Kshatriya, it's Bhiksham. I've come to you about Bhiksha. Right? And then he says, Bhavati, oh good woman, Dehi, please give. So he's saying, alms, good woman, please give. Right? So first you know what's being done. Then there's that respectful element. Then the last thing is the dehi. Well, you see, for the Vaishya, then it adjusts again. He says, Biksham dehi bhavati. He just gets right down to, you know, please give me money, oh good woman. Right? So we see kind of the moods that are there, just that respectful and that simplicity of what's going on, then the formality of the effectiveness, then about gaining benefits or getting results. So from the three, then you see the mood that is there, right? So then it also then shows that, you know, one should be respectful. One says what one's doing, you know, in what context, and then what is to be done exactly. So in other words, you have the respect, you have the general area, and then the detail. You know, that's the general, you know, you could say the, you know, Vaishnava or devotional way. Or at least then, oh, what's to be done? And then that respect, and then there's there. But, you know, we see in the corporate world, then it will just have the, this is what we're doing. And then, you know, if a person is in that position, as long as they're the ones giving, then we tend to be a little respectful. If they're not giving, or they've already given and we don't care anymore, then we give that up. So receiving alms, you can say, yes.
Maharaj, it's just interesting that when in ISKCON, there is a training for book distributors, this is what they tell them. That's how I was trained also. So these elements have to be there. So who are you? And what are you doing? And what do you want from people? So it's the same science, just according to time, place, circumstance.
Yes, yes, yes. Because this is just how you practically do things. You have to acknowledge the person that's there. You have to then mention what is the interaction and then what they're supposed to do in that interaction, right? So in other words, there's a basis, right? There's you and respecting them, then what is the basis of that interaction, and then what's to be done in the interaction. So this is the footnote is from Manu. It says in Dharma Shastra, that's Manu. Here it just mentions, as we see, it goes through as for Brahmins. And if Kshatriyas and Vaishyas do, then that's nice. They, you know, they should. And so then if you're following the Varnashram, then you would do it this way. If you're following Daiva Varnashram, then the whole point is it's all about, you know, functioning on that Brahminical platform. But we know that when we do our occupations, that there has to be this hierarchy. You know, means as far as the devotional, we don't need the hierarchy, you know, who leads kirtan or who gives the class and that. It's the one who's qualified, that's all. But if you're dealing in occupations, how you maintain the body, then there has to be this hierarchy, because the point is that making money has to be in line with, you know, how the society works, the governments, the standards, the laws, and that has to be in line with, you know, the scriptures. Because otherwise, nowadays, you see as the Vaishnavas, that the idea of free market. Free market means nothing can control how I can make money. I can make money in any way possible. But no, it has to be that it's legal, you know, by the state, and it's also in line with the scriptures. Then it's free market. But you have to define free market. Because they'll say, no, I can do whatever I want. Does that mean people come into your shop? Then you lock the door and say, I'm not letting you out until you buy something. You know, I mean, if they could do that, they probably would. But, you know, it would be understood as, no, we don't do that. We're nice and all that. So the point is there's always standards. So what standards you apply? So if we say the Vedic market, oh, that's against free market. No, it's against your greed and lack of good culture and character. That's what it's against. Don't say it's against free market. Free market has to be that it doesn't disturb the people, doesn't disturb the government, doesn't disturb your spiritual development. If those are in place, because that's human consideration. In other words, the free market they want is not for humans. right? And even if they in their personal life get into, you know, they're religious and do all these things and inquire, they don't generally consider the common person human. So they're just an opportunity to make money. You know, like you have animals, you have the common people, you have this and that. So that's the, you know, we're talking here not necessarily their conscious perspective. We're talking about the underlying unconscious elements that, you know, their greed drives them in. So that's why it has to be. Because I remember, I haven't heard this in anyone else. I just remember one person talking about it. Others pick it up, I think, because it's just their tradition or what their families do, you know, or what their particular community does. But I remember one, he was in Calcutta. He's one of the wealthiest persons in Calcutta at the time. You know, he was from a Vaishnava background, and, you know, they were vegetarian. They worshiped the deities like that. You know, back in the days when Marwaris and Gujaratis and all that were all vegetarian and worship Krishna or Ram. And so then he was saying, you know, when he was growing up, so what he would have been at an age where he could kind of appreciate it, you know, still a young man. Then his father told him, you know, we don't do business in these areas, not in gambling. We don't deal in, you know, in leather meat, you know, like that. Says, we don't do that, you know, because meat's naturally not going to be there. But he says, we don't deal in leather. We don't deal in any of these kind of gambling things. Says, they're too sinful. You don't want to get involved. Because the point is you may make money, but it'll reduce your piety. So therefore, overall, because, I mean, this guy was doing very, very well. He's very influential, but a very cultured person and dealt very nicely. You know, he used to, I think, support the Ratha Yatra every year. He'd do, you know, so many things. He was very active with the temple when he was around. So point being is that there was someone who the father told him that we don't work in these areas, you know. And so if you go back in time, the people did have some standards, and so then they would like that. The modernists, no, they'll do anything to get money. Even you have money, they'll figure out how to get money off of anything you have, you know, like that. It doesn't matter. It's just like that. The government does that. The business does that. The education does that. Medicine does that. Whatever they can get you for, they will. So there's no restriction and no guidelines for their greed. So their greed is there, but it has to work within a particular area. And so that's the whole idea, is that there must be these elements. And so then the higher up you go, you see the more refined it is. Is that okay, Pandavji?
Yes, sure, Maharaj. Yes,
okay,
thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you see, it's very practical. It's very respectable. It's very down to earth. That's the whole thing. The Vedic culture is the most practical. It can bring together all the elements that are required in human society in a balanced way, and be able to give opportunity for the individuality that is there, you know. And that kind of thing is that the nature is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, is that those elements that bring out the uniqueness of that group, that identity, then they can express that within society. So in other words, the artists can express themselves, but at the same not disturb society. Like nowadays, they want to express themselves, but they have to turn society upside down, in fact, destroy it to get what they want. And the thing is, having destroyed it, they don't get what they want. No one gets it because they're working from ignorance. So that's why they shouldn't have that opportunity. You know, so, you know, same with the Vaishyas. They'll destroy everything to make money. The Kshatriyas destroy everything for power. The Brahmins will destroy everything to, you know, be right, you know, that they're the authority. So, you know, in the way of knowledge. So these all have to be restricted. Brahmins, it has to be from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And it has to be according to the nature of the person you're talking to. You know, the Kshatriya, it has to be about protecting the people like that, and respecting the Brahmins. Under their direction, he protects the people like that. So people includes, you know, the Brahmins, Vaishyas, and Shudras, you know, other Kshatriyas also, of course, you know, the Vaishyas, they can make their money, but not in a way that is they're making, they're not selling things people don't need, and they're giving a good price. And the price is being, because they can't necessarily regulate themselves as much. The government regulates the prices, right? But the point of regulating the prices is not to become popular with the people, but to see that the people are taken care of because they need the things and they can live, and the business person will get his good profit. So you're considering all the things of what he's selling, where he got it, how much it costs, what's the transport, what's the storage, what's any taxes, this, that, anything like that, then, you know, so that he makes a profit. But at the same time, it should be reasonable for the persons who are buying. Like that. And then the Shudras, they have to work under the others, you know, with an attitude of trying to understand the mood of whatever it is, whoever and whatever they're working for. You know, the needs of what they're working for. You know, they're working doing these crafts and all that. Then it has to be things that people need. You know, they can't sell stuff people don't need. Same with the businessmen, they shouldn't be selling things people don't require. You know, so that kind of thing is there's a regulation. Then everybody is within their area, they do. Because what happens is someone wants the freedom for all four areas. But no, you can't take what they can from each. No, you have the freedom in your own area, and your area can't disturb any other area. So that's the balance has to be there. And that's why no other system can do this. Because as soon as one comes up, it gets terrible. Right? Like that. Becomes too centered around the corporate world, they'll take over, and then everybody else will rebel against that and bring it down. Or the government, they'll rebel against that. Or the intellectuals, they'll rebel against that. And the Shudras go crazy. After a while, it just doesn't work, and everybody has to calm down because someone will come in and control them. Because whatever it is, they'll lose enthusiasm, because their enthusiasm is very short-lived, so they can come out, yell, scream, jump up and down for a very short time, and then they can't do anything. So without leadership, they can't do anything. So since it doesn't work, someone has to come in to make it practical. Okay. In the same manner, Brahmachari should approach women, friends of his mother, and then thank them on receiving alms, right? So the address will be the same as he applies for his mother, right? So then it mentions about this, and then he, you know, yeah, thanks them. Then he should go to his father and say, Bhavan Bhiksham Dehi, oh sir, please, alms, receiving alms, he should say, may there be auspiciousness. He should approach friends of his father in the same way and give all that he receives to the Acharya. Charya should perform Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarthi Homa, offer Ghee soaked Uddha Pradesh link in the fire, and then he should perform Udicha Karma, and then give the father of the child, should give Dakshin to the initiated Brahmins, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, and he should serve Prashad to all the devotees and guests. Right? So then that ends that part of that, the main part of the rite, that's the general. Now there's some further things that he does, but this is on his own, you know, in the, or you know, with others. What point is it's done within the ashram, as part of an ashram element. So then we have Sami Dadhanam Homa. The Brahmachari should remain at the place of the Homa silently until sunset. He should then begin Kushandika rites, drawing the lines, Pancharekha, and purifying them, establishing fire named Samudbhava. Fold his hands and say, so it's the same fire as for the Upanayana. May this fire, all-knowing Jataveda, carry the offering to the Devatas. Right, so again, we see here that principle is when you're opening your deen with the fire is carrying to whoever it is that you're offering to. Like these offerings are to Krishna or whoever. Then the fire will carry them. The deity doesn't need to be in the fire to receive the offering. Agni carries it to them. He should perform Uta Kanjali Sheka and Agni Paryukshana, Taking 3 sticks of ghee-soaked wood of Pradesh length, he should offer the first without mantra. The second he should offer, saying, I have brought the wood of the great fire, the knower of all living entities. It means the fire is the knower of all living entities, because he's in every living entity. He's everywhere. And, you know, your digestion goes on, your sight goes on. I think it's, a fire sits in 5 places in the body. So he's there and knows these things. Just as the fire shines brightly by means of the fuel, may I shine with long life, wisdom, vitality, good offspring, many cows, knowledge of the Vedas, necessary wealth and sustenance. Yeah, so it's just like by giving the fuel, then he shines, then all these things, then they'll make him shine brightly. Like that means the long life, wisdom, vitality, offspring, many good cows, it says good offspring, and knowledge of the Vedas, necessarily wealth and sustenance. One, that gives the confidence and all that. You don't have to get distracted. But two, is the point is if you're doing this, means you're doing something proper to get all this. Means you have to be living a pious lifestyle for these to be there. And so then by living a lifestyle in connection with Krishna, then that brings all the secondary dharma in line with the sub dharma. So it'll be the most pious. It'll give the best results. He should offer the 3rd stick silently. He should then perform Agni Paryukshana and Uchakanjali Sheka and from the Udichakarma section. Identify himself by Gotra. He should salute the fire, saying, okay, footnote 1. Vaishnavas may identify themselves according to their own family gotra or as the Chuta gotra. Those who come in line with the infallible Lord. So if you have a particular, it means you happen to know your gotra, then, you know, I say, if you happen to be human and you happen to know your gotra, so therefore then, yes, then you would mention that gotra. And if you've come in contact with Krishna consciousness, you don't know all these things, and then, you know, taking these up, then therefore a Chuta gotra will be used, because a Chuta means the infallible Lord. So we're all in the line of the Lord. That's our, so therefore the forefathers are the parampara. That's why Sattvika Vridhi Shraddha is about the parampara. It's not about your father, his father, and all the forefathers like that and the demigod. It's about the previous acharyas. So the Achuta Gota works very nice. Somebody wants to say something? No? Okay. So he says, I of this Gotra salute you, O fire. He should dismiss the fire, exclaiming, Om Shama Sva. Please forgive my offenses. After the sun is set, the child should eat the grains that he has begged with ghee, but without salt. Before eating, he should sprinkle the grains with water, then sip water, saying, you are the sitting place of nectar. So this is part of the, when you do the thing around the before eating grains. Yes.
Sorry. On the previous point about the gotra, some devotees comment that using Achyuta Gotra is given as a part of sannyas ceremony to Vaishnavas. So their point is it's exclusively reserved for those who completely surrendered. Others, then better to use.
And who's saying this? Are these Westerners or these are Indians from Brahmin backgrounds?
Indians.
And from what background? Yeah, so in other words, they can take their false ego and they're puffed up and they're great and fabulous and all that, because they have to remember they went to IIT. They didn't grow up doing this and they didn't do this yajna when they were 6 years old to make those comments. In other words, they only became a Brahmin after meeting Prabhupada. And that's pretty much, for most of them, that's the end of the story. Right there. That's the end of the story. There's a good chance that most of them, they'd even have to go back to their grandfather, great-grandfather, to actually be practicing properly as Brahmins. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm not sure that they're in a position to make this point. Because also the sannyasi shaved his head, so therefore then no one should shave their head. He also got a name in relation to Krishna, then they shouldn't do that. He also put on tilak. That was also part of the sannyas ceremony. In fact, the sannyas ceremony is coming up just next after we finish you know, what we're doing here. It means the sambartana.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. Yeah. And so there's 10 samskars, you know, we can see here. The, what is that? The 10 samskars, they're given a list of them. Okay. Vaishnav samskars, yes. Munda shaving, Tirtha snana, bathing in a holy river, Tilak dharana, putting on Tilak mudra dharana, placing symbols of the body, Lord on the body, Kopin ashuddhi, purification of the Kopin, Kopin pranpatishta, calling deities into the Kopin, Namakarna, taking the name of Lord Vishnu, Vishnu mantra dharana, receive a Vaishnava mantra, Achyuta gotra, God taking Achyuta gotra, Shaligam archana, worship Shaligam, Shila. So then, if that's their point, then all these 10, they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to take that line, it's like, where did they get that from? The Acharya's comment on that? You know, is it just that they want to show that, okay, I'm not a Chuta Gotra, but at least I'm better than you because I'm, you know, from an Indian family and I know my Gotra. Can they list 7 generations of the family?
No.
If they can't, then don't be so proud. That's required for marriage. You don't know 7 generations. You're basically an outcast of your community. No one will marry you. And then 7, I mean the names. You can say the names. Because if you can't tell that, you don't know who Swajati or Swagotra, Swajati means, you know, you don't know. They might be your relative. So if you want to really get into it, then let's drag out Manu and let's see what's the considerations here. You know, but this weekend warrior Brahmins, you know, it's like, are you kidding me? You know, if they go to a big meeting with all these general Indians and that, are they going to bring out their qualifications of their material education and their degree, or they're going to bring out that they're Brahmins and they've been worshiping the deity and the Shaligram and all that since they're 5 years old? Which are they going to do? Therefore, I rest my case.
Yes.
In other words, I come down heavy on the Westerners who mess around with the Vedic culture and all that, don't have faith in that. I have nothing good to say. But one should know I come down heavier on the Indians who are not following and then want all the credit and prestige of all that. That's worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they have a background in that and the sadhana is easy, you know, that's an advantage. But the disadvantage is their inability to actually be able to connect with the public.
Yes.
Like that.
Got it.
You know? Like that. So, therefore, is that, you know, that's generally why I don't work and move within the Indian community. Because if false ego comes up in a Westerner, you just make a comment and then they kind of know. And then, you know, between malechas, you know, okay, don't mess, you know. But, you know, the Indians bring it up. That's like disgusting. I mean, absolutely disgusting. You know. Because the guys that did grow up in you know, their father is chanting the Vedic mantras and doing the pujas and yajnas and doing all that, they don't have that pride. Smartas maybe, but the Vaishnavas generally not. You know, unless they identify as a scholar, but if they're actually practicing, because we're talking about rituals here, and they're doing that aspect, and you know, they don't have that pride. No, I haven't met one. And I'm talking about the biggest guys in India. You know, we're not talking about small timers. So, yeah, so that's generally why I don't move in the Indian scene too much, because I'm too intolerant of their pride in their, you know, ability and of moving in the Western culture and being very comfortable with it, at the same time claiming that they're the big Brahmins. I mean, it's probably, I'm not sure. It might be an allergy. You know, like that. I really can't tolerate it. You know? So therefore, yeah, that's not how it goes. You know, always taking that, you know, just that's the same one as like, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, one name of the Lord. So powerful it can clear all the sin of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, oh, that's only one pure chanting of the name, as if it's we make the name powerful. No, that's what the name can do. Whether you can take advantage of it, that might be. But don't put these on the name itself. The name, he's glorious. One name. He says the whole cosmos comes from the name of Krishna. You know, so we always like to put that on. Oh, but in this case, it's like this, so that we can bring down our mundane, moralistic view on things, whatever it may be, you know, or it's like in here, it's Varnashram, or it's, you know, some other thing, you know, whatever it is, it's not, no. The name, we have to understand, Vaishnavas are in a position because of their connection with the Lord, and that includes all of them. Even the neophytes are glorious. The Devas, they were worshipped in uniform. They're neophytes. They're not Madhyamas. They're neophytes. Otherwise, if they were Madhyamas, why would they be on the heavenly planets? Right? They're there because of material desire. So, they're devotees that didn't remember Krishna at the time of death, and, you know, had their material desire. And so then Krishna arranged this, they go to the heavenly planets. Then they help manage the universe and get all the nice facilities that they get. So, you know, I mean, why would you worry about the facilities here? You know, worry, you know, you get nice facilities there. Krishna reciprocates. You know, and if someone's more situated and more in the preaching and more in the understanding of the devotee and all that, not as distracted on the neophyte platform, then he may take birth in the family of devotees. Right? But then you're going to see as one, they've born a devotee, but the quality of their devotion, quality or mentality, or the quality of what mistake, you know, that they made to stay here, then that will define what kind of family that they're born into. You know, how good, how solid are the parents? Like that. You know, so like that. It's that you have. So we have to appreciate that the Chuta Gotra is for the Vaishnavas. It just means how do you identify yourself?
Yes, right.
Because the point is any devotee can use the Chuta Gotra, because it's just that's how they identify themselves. You know. So they are a servant of Krishna. It's not so much that they're this one or that one. And at the same time as that would be the next question, okay, and Brahman, and then the next question, is their Gotra one that they could be proud of? You know, is it just a general one, or is something they could be very proud of? You know, so if they're Bharadvaj or Bhrigu, okay, I can understand they're going to have a bit of an air about them. But if it's anyone else, then, you know, it's good. Everybody should know their Gotras. You know, but I mean, if you're going to take that, then if everyone has to go buy the Gotra and not use a Chuta, then the other thing we can do is then if you're, you know, don't know you're born outside that, you're especially if you're coming from the Western or non-Indian backgrounds, then you can be Kasyapa Gotra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Kasyapa is the father of the Daityas and the Danavas. So, you know, hey, we fit in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Kasyapa will be one of the 10, right?
Yes.
And the four Kumaras and Narad Muni you have to remove from that list. So that means only 8 on that level. So 21, that means then 8 minus 21 is 13. Other ones are slightly less than these ones. So we, it might be that we might be in a higher gotra than them. Mm-hmm. Fun, no? That's the thing, is don't get involved in this stuff. Stick to Daivavarna Ashram. So for us, it's a natural thing. You're saying these things if you're doing this at a home, right? You're doing this mm-hmm. at home. Your family does practice these things, therefore you have the gotras. Or I remember, I think it was a discussion that came up when we were doing, who was his wedding? What was his name? You know, the Calcutta president?
Hazridharan Prabhu?
No.
Dayaram Prabhu.
Dayaram Prabhu, yeah, at his wedding. Because he's from Bharadwaj Shaka. So, I mean, that's like, you know, I mean, people stop talking and stand at attention and fold their palms when they hear that, you know. So the whole point is you know, from a, you know, I think, he, you know, maybe from a Saraswat Brahmin family. I don't, I mean, he might even be Gaur Saraswat, I'm not sure. And from that shaka, it's like, you know, you don't get much better than that unless a few people are going to be Bhrigu, very few. So then, you know, it was at his wedding, because his parents and everyone were there. Then he said, we should go with his gotra, because otherwise his parents will freak out. They have to put in all their little rituals that, you know, you had to wear the, you know, the pearls, you know, the hanging like this, and those kind of things that at the wedding, because that's just, you know, his line, his gotra. So he did that. But otherwise, you know, if it hadn't been, we just would have used the chuta.
Mm-hmm.
So all devotees can use it. It's just a matter of, you know, why would you want to use the other one? Otherwise, then, yeah. Kasyapa. Okay. And then, before he eats, then, you know, you're sipping water. Amrito pastaranam. Asi swaha, because you're offering to making a seat, you're drinking some water, that's the seat for nectar, then you're drinking the prasad, and then you sip again afterwards, and it's a cover for nectar. You know, so there's all the different things that you would do as a Brahman of the things. So then here. You should take small particles of food in between his ring finger, middle finger, and thumb of his right hand, saying the following 5 mantras after the five grains, 5 times the life airs by swallowing without chewing. So, I mean, you're taking a very small amount. You're taking, you know, it's like small particles, you know, and it's grains. This is only for grains. Anakadasi or, you know, like those, you don't do that. That's why you see it's lunchtime they do this. Then it's done, you know, breakfast or afternoon, and that generally is not grains, and so then it wouldn't be done. Each time some grain should remain in his hand, which he should discard for the 2. The rice is prasadam, then the discard actually be kept in the corner of the plate. This process of parisasana, sipping water and offering of cooked food to the life heirs, is to respect Krishna's potencies as his manifestation as Vaishvanara, the finer of digestion, the 5 life heirs. Right? So means anyway. So in other words, you're throwing into your mouth without touching your mouth. And you're throwing it into your mouth and it's just a small amount, like 1 or 2 grains or whatever is the smallest amount possible that you can get. And then that's swallowed without chewing, because it's an offering to the life air. It's not to us. It's the Vaishvanara. Because even though it's Krishna, it's still acting as capacity like devotee of Krishna, right? And so, and then some is left on the hand, because we say nothing can be left on the hand. How do you get it off the hand? You won't be able to get. You'll touch your mouth. It won't work. It won't work smoothly. So therefore, some is left, and then that's discarded on the side. Because then to get in your mouth, you have to throw it. But to get it off your hand, you can, you know, just go like this. So then for the others, it's discarded because it's what hasn't been offered. That'll get go to the Bhutas. But here you put it in the corner of your plate because it's prasad. So the left hand should be touching the plate because he's not contaminating himself. So the left hand's touching the plate and he's doing so, nothing becomes contaminated. So then he does Om Pranaya Swaha, Om Apanaya Swaha, Om Samanaya Swaha, Om Udanaya Swaha, Om Dhyanaya Swaha. After finishing his meal, he should again sip water, saying, Amrita Pidanam Asi Swaha, you are the water to cover the nectar. For the rest of his life, he should take his meals in this manner. Also part of the program. We've never pushed it too much because, you know, we can't get anybody to do it. Remember, once we were in Udupi, I got invited to some Brahmin's house. Like that, you know, they sat me down and it was interesting because you have the place for eating inside, you had the kitchen, you had the place for eating outside. So all that was part of the scene. So because it was a private thing, there was only inside. But going in when he went into the kitchen, you go, the other one, you can come straight in. The outside one, you just come in, you don't go close to the kitchen. That, but for the inside one, you went through the kitchen and then you can go out the back. So in the kitchen, they were already feeding the, you know, small children and like this and that kind of thing. Because Manu mentions, you know, and it mentions here is that, you know, the children and all that are fed before. It means of those adults who are going to eat, also pregnant women, anybody who's sick, you know, or invalids or, you know, anybody like that, they all eat first. As soon as it's cooked and offered, then you just feed them. But then after that, it has to be guests, right? For the Brahmin, then he feeds the guests. So when it says guests first, that doesn't mean that you don't feeding up, but they don't sit where the guests are going to sit. It's not they're sitting out there already eating, then you come in. No, they sit in their own place. So there's another part of the kitchen where, you know, the ladies would eat and stuff like that. So they would feed all that. They're not eating. It's just they're feeding all those persons that are done first. Then it's about the guest, right? And, you know, and guests like that, you can also then, in this case, they also had the father, you know, who would have been in this case, the grandfather, you know, sitting with me like that. I'm not sure if anybody else came, but I just remember the grandfather, because then when you know, got everything ready, you know, it was all that served, I started the parisationam. You know, which you can see it doesn't take long. You just take the, you are the sitting place of nectar, then make them five, and you are the water to cover nectar, like that. And so that aspect is there, and water around the plate, you know. So it takes, what, 10 seconds or something, you know, like that. And the grandfather looks so disappointed. You know, he was just about to eat, and then I start doing that, so he stopped. Right, because you can't eat till the guests eat, because I'm doing parisation. So, yeah, then I understood, okay, maybe we can't push this one as much as we would like to. Because otherwise, the idea was anybody who had Upanayana, who was second initiation, everyone in the school would do that lunch, would do the parisation. Breakfast, no, because it was all around the fruit and all that. But at lunch, you know, with the rice, then everyone would do. But, you know, this is also part of what it means to be a Brahmin. So have those ones who are talking about the Achyuta Gotra doing? No. Okay, so then. Means if they are and they make this comment, then I'm going to listen. Then we can discuss and go into it and understand the Vaishnava Tattva and how what they're saying is not necessarily the proper understanding. It may be there in the smarter communities, but in the Vaishnava communities, that wouldn't be the so much the thing. Because before it wouldn't be practiced in the Indian Vaishnava communities, because generally speaking, everybody had a gotra. Right? Amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates, who doesn't have a gotra? Right? Haridas Thakur. Right? The others that the six Goswamis all have, maybe they're not functioning in that because of being ostracized by them because of their service in the, what do you call it? Mohammedan government, like that. And, you know, or anything like that. They're working for government. You know, if you're working for corporations, that's even less, that's even lower. So if they were ostracized, why wouldn't these guys be ostracized? Right? So why would they be so proud of the Gotra? So if the six Goswamis means at least Rupa Sanatan, you know, then wouldn't be using, so they'd use a chuta, you know, before that. But if they were in their family, then they'd be using. So that means this was Hari Das Thakur. Like that. So the whole point is that it doesn't, these things don't, we don't have to take, we don't take that much. Because if they're talking that is so strict, what about the Parisational? So, like that. He should perform the Sami, the Danam Homa every morning and evening. So in other words, the Vedic, he would be doing this yajna every day, right? Then as a grihastha, then he would add in what he would do as a grihastha after he graduates. But otherwise, two times a day, they're doing the yajna. So for us, because it's based, we're more based on the Pancharatra, then morning would be the deity yajna, you know, the Nitya Homa for the deities as part of the Pancharatra process that's mentioned in the 11th canto. And then the evening would be based around this ceremony. It would be that, but it would be combined with the Pancharatric elements. But, at least that was the idea of what it was supposed to be. Whether anyone's maintaining that, I'm not sure, but that was the idea. Then Saviti Charohoma. This homa is performed on the fourth day after the Upanayanam rites, either by the father with relatives, or the father with brahmacharis, or by the anacharya. Right? So in other words, the father can do it himself, you know, brahmacharis, or he can have the brahman doing on his behalf, like that. After taking bath, he should begin the Kushandika rites. What happened?
Nothing, Mara, sorry.
Okay, that was... Calling the fire Samud Bhava, so he sees all these are all in line with Samud Bhava. Then facing east, you sit down and cook charo in the same fire. Process of, because this is the Savitri Charo Homa. The process of making charo is as follows. On the west side of the fire, you place kusa with the tips facing east. And on top of that, you should place a mortar and pestle made of wood. You should also place a bamboo winnowing basket there and a bell metal bowl with barley grains in it. Should purify all the items with water from a wooden spoon, prokshani, to chant the following mantra. Om Savitre Tva Jushtam Nirvapani Bapami. You should then take 1/3 of a portion of the barley. From the bell metal bowl and place it in the mortar without mantra. The rest of the barley should be divided into two portions. Then holding the pestle in his right hand, he should crush the grains in the mortar and then thresh them with the winnowing basket. Similarly, crush and thresh the other two portions of barley. After doing this thrice, he should wash the grains three times. He should put two pinjalis into the charu stali, the earthen bowl in which the char will be cooked, with the tips facing north. And then put the washed grains in a pot and slowly cook so as not to create lumps. Add milk and water a little at a time, stirring it with a spoon in a clockwise direction. He should cook it on the fire that he has installed, making sure that it doesn't become burned or that the water doesn't evaporate completely. The spoon he uses for stirring should be made of Kadir Palash or Adumbara, wood with a flat face on both sides, half an inch thick and of a square shape. When the charu is ready, he should add two spoonfuls of ghee and place it on top of kusha on the north side of the kunda. Right, he did all this work on the west, meaning opposite where you'd sit for doing the sacrifice, then it goes on the north. He should then add one more spoon of ghee. Right, so the two go in there mixed in nicely, then the other one you put on the top. Should then continue the Kushandika from Bhumi Puja, like that. So up to this point, he only got through Samud Bhava, just installing the fire. He hasn't done any of the other aspects. So then he cooks the charo, and then Bhumi Japa to Shruva Samskar. Then after placing ghee on top of Kusha on the west side of the fire, continue the Ujjakanjali Sheka. and finish the Krishandika rites with the Virupaksha job. Actually, no, excuse me. If this is all going on the west side of the fire, it means it's in the place where he would do the homa from. It's on his side. So he does all these things, cooks thing, does all that from the spot of the ho tree. Then after that, he keeps it on the north. Okay, through Virupaksha. After that, he should begin the homa by offering ghee-soaked wood of Pradesh linked at the fire, silently. The Vyasta Samasta Mahavyarati Homa should not be chanted at the beginning of the Savitri Chara Homa, but only afterwards. So then, okay. The performer of the Chara Homa wishes to make the Homa shorter, or if he doesn't have a juhu, that is a shruk made of palasru. It's also, it has a slightly different shape, I think. But the shruva, and then this is a juhu, okay. You can put one spoon of ghee into the charo and take one spoon of charo from the charu stali and offer the fire whilst chanting. So it uses the juhu for offering. Vaishnave Savitre Swaha. Okay, that's the abridged. It's just that much. So if he wants the unabridged, wants to get more benefit, he may use the juhu for offering the charu. His Brahmins belong to Bhrigu Gotra. Okay, each Gotra Parampara has a particular number of famous rishis known as Tavara. Depending upon how many Pravaras are there will be that many knots on one's Mekala. Right, so then on the belt, then for those in the Bhrigu Gotra, they will tie these knots on the ends of their thing. Then you can tell who they're from. So that way, Brahmacharis, you can tell if they just tied the knot, that's all. Then you know that, you know, they're standard Brahmacharis. But then if you see that on that Mekala, they have it's long and they tied knots in it, whatever it is, those extra, then you know they're from Bhrigu Gotra. You should put 5 spoons of ghee, and others should put 4 on the north side of the fire, pouring towards the east while chanting Om Vishnave Swaha. Then he should offer a spoon of ghee on the southern side of the fire, chanting Om Anantaya Swaha. Then first offering with Jahomi. Okay, so then one is on the north, and then one is on the south. So he does one from one side, one from the other. This one you just do the one, and that's all, abridged. The Brahmachari belongs to the Bhrigu Gotra, then he should pour 1 spoon of ghee into the juhu and 1 spoon into the middle of the charu stali. One should then take a spoon of char from the middle of the charu stali where the ghee was poured and put it into the juhu. Again, pour 1 spoon of ghee into the middle of the charu stali, right? So then you're pouring into the middle, then you take it from there. So with lots of ghee, that's for that offering. Then you pour some more in the middle again. So when you take next time, the ghee is already there. Taking a spoon of each of the side place in the juhu, then again pour. Okay. After that, take 1 spoon of ghee and pour it in the juhu, then offer the charo and ghee from the juhu into the fire while chanting Om Vaishnave Savitre Swaha. So, in other words, you put ghee into the juhu, into the spoon, you put the charo on top that already had the ghee on top of it, then you're pouring a spoon of ghee on top, so plenty of ghee. However, the Brahmachari belongs to another Gotra, then he should pour 1 spoon of ghee into the western side of the charu stali, but not take any charu out of the pot. 1 spoon of ghee into the juhu and 1 spoon of ghee into the middle of the charu stali. Then he should offer ghee into the juhu, in the juhu into the fire while chanting the above mantra. Right? So then the Bhrigu is using those things and the other is not. Second offering. When the Brahmachari from the Bhrigu Gotra should pour 1 spoon of ghee into the juhu, and 1 to the northeast side of the charu stali. Then, that means within the pot of where the charu is. Then take 1 heaping spoonful of char from the northeast side of the charu stali and place it in the juhu. After that, pour 1 spoon of ghee into the northeast side of the charu stali. So he's offered, taken out of the middle, pour the ghee back, right? Then he pours ghee in the northeast, then he's going to take it out of there and put it in the juhu spoon and put one and put ghee back. So in other words, you've taken charo, you've replaced it with ghee. You should pour 2 spoons of ghee into the juhu and offer into the northeast side of the fire, chanting Om Svisti Svisti Krite Achutaya Swaha. brahmacharis from different gotras put 2 spoons of ghee into the juhu and 1 spoon of ghee into the northeast side of the charustali. The rest of the ritual is the same. After that, the brahmachari should offer the spoon used for stirring the charu into the fire without mantra, right? So what you use for cooking, then that gets offered into the fire, right? Because it's also that palash wood. After that, the brahmachari should offer the spoon. Okay, then you should perform the vyasta samasta mahavyarati homa and offer wood into the fire silently. Then aditya karma, vamadevya. And then the brahmachari should give dakshin to the acharya. If the acharya is his father, he gives to the initiated Vaishnavas who officiated the Brahma as the Brahma priest, right? So if it's his father, then he gives it to the Brahma. If it's just the priest, you know, doing this, father's not, and then he gives to them. In other words, he gives to, you know, the initiated Vaishnav who either is the senior one there or who officiated or who did the sacrifice. Okay, so then from this we can appreciate that this is the kind of technicality of ritual that the acharyas basically have saved us from. That because of chanting and all that, we don't do all these technical things. So what we do do, that has already been adjusted. So in other words, the Vedas are there. What is, and it gives all these technical works. And if you are, you know, born in the human species of life, you have debts, the 5 rins that you owe. And it's not, it doesn't matter if, you know, the malechas and yavanas all over the planet that don't do them, they're all getting sinful reactions for not doing them. It's not that, oh, we're Westerners, it doesn't matter. No, if you're human, you are obliged to do these. And if not, you're becoming contaminated by not worshiping all these, you know, the forefathers, the sages, the Brahmins, the general public, and the ghosts. It means you have to worship them. It means it's not, there's no question of it. And so along with that, then all these samskaras, they have all these technical points and everything to go along with it. And so that's what's there in Varnashram. So when we, and so then the acharyas have gone through and lifted what is there in, you know, with Krishna's direction and the Shastras, what then the Vaishnavas do. So therefore, what is Daiva Varnashram? That everything's centered around the Lord. And so that's there. So another also point you can make is, yes, in Daiva Varnashram, then taking a Chuta Gotra is fine. If you're in ordinary Varnashram or mundane Varnashram, or if you want to really stick it to them, Asuric Varnashram, which means it's not centered around Krishna, then yes, so then you could follow that. But since we're not in your line and we're not in your community, then we're not obliged. So therefore, we don't have to listen to what you have to say. I'm sorry. We will listen to our acharyas. And so then they brought all that up and given us that. So when they're talking about we're not into all the rituals, it means they've already gone through and taken, like the swan takes the milk out of the water, and given us that. So that's already there. So those who chant do these ones. This is how they function. And because you're going to have those that are from these backgrounds. Now people don't care so much. You know, since the mid-90s, then it's really gone down. But before that, people were very much worried about these things. And there's communities that are still worried. And you go back in time, then they had that. So when we say we chant Hare Krishna, means we didn't have to worry about the Smarta Vidhi. We only worried about Vaishnava Vidhi. Now, those who are uninformed and, you know, unknowledgeable in these areas, then they will say it's because we chant, we don't have to do the Vaishnava ones. That's like, no. We don't have to do the Smarta Vidhi. We only do the Vaishnava Vidhi. Otherwise, then it's like, yeah, does that make sense? So this is a great mistake on the part of the devotees. So they mix it. Sometimes they're, oh, we just chant, and other times, oh, we can't do that. So the whole point is no. What the acharyas say, that's what we do. What they don't say, that's what we don't do. That's what we avoid. Is that clear? Is that good?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. So we'll... Yeah, so that ends the Savitri Charu Homa. Okay. Then next is Samavartana, the graduation ceremony. We'll do that on Thursday. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, he shouts.